This is an interview with Mrs. Betty Blackwell for the Youngstown State University project on the Black student experience. The interview is being conducted using WebEx, and today's date is September 14th, 2023. And my name is Talicia Williams. Hello, Mrs. Blackwell.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fine today.
Let's start off with where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I am originally from, well, born in Mississippi, but I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio. So that's where I spent most of my childhood in Youngstown.
What was your experience like growing up here in Youngstown?
I had a good experience. During the time I was growing up, Youngstown was pretty prosperous. All the mills were functioning, and they gave a lot back to the community. So far as growing up in Youngstown, pretty good experience. I grew up on the north side of town. I attended the Rand School, which was a very, I want to say, heavily Jewish school at the time. So my experience might be a little different than some of the other people you might interview, and the fact that I went to school and participated with a predominantly Jewish community.
What was that experience like?
It was a good experience. Now that I look back on it, it probably was one of the best experiences I had because of the diversity of the school and the not knowing it at the time, the influence that was there because of the student body that was made up at Rand School at that time. So it gave me a good foundation, educational foundation, that kind of directed my course.
Directed your course in what way exactly?
And some of the options and the choices that I have made through life. It's funny because a lot of my friends are still predominantly Jewish. And I look at that influence throughout all of my life, having made those connections very young, at a very young age, and have stayed engaged with most of them.
Are you a first generation college graduate?
Yes, I am.
Influenced you to go to school? Why did you make that decision?
Again, based on the background that I'm coming from and the school experiences that I had, it was kind of an expectation. Now, my other sisters went to school as well, but they did not finish. They did not graduate. But we were given the opportunity to dream that we could go to college just because we saw everybody else around us going to college.
Why did you choose YSU? Why did you choose not to go out of state for school?
Basically financial. Even though we wanted to dream, coming from a family of five girls and my father was the only income coming in, basically it was finance.
Why did you choose elementary education as your major when you came to school?
I didn't really choose elementary education as my major. It was kind of a dramatic shift. I was in the School of Engineering, believe it or not. Wanted to be a civil engineer. And the encounter that I had in the engineering department was not a good one. And it was suggested that I go into education elementary, education or to math, because to be honest with you, there were, I don't think there was any Black female that I can remember in that engineering department, School of Business at that part, engineering, and it was not encouraged. And it wasn't based on my grades at that time, I don't think. It was just the professor strongly encouraged me to pursue math and education.
So that bad experience was the professor recommending that you switch majors?
Absolutely.
Why do you feel like he did that?
Again, based on the climate at that time, based on just a perception. I think it was just a perception. Do I regret my change? No, I think it led me in a better direction for right now, but I really won't ever know because I never had that opportunity to continue in the College of Business.
How long did you stay in engineering? Was only one?
Basically, I can't even remember. Was it the, just the first, back then we were on quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking maybe one, I'm trying to think if I even finished the quarter there.
Wow.
And then you have to remember when I first attended, if I remember, Youngstown was Youngstown College. It was not Youngstown State University yet. It was going through that transformation.
And so once you did switch to, well, he gave you the two options of math or education. Why did you not choose math? Why didn't you choose to stay on that path, along that path?
You know, when I went to, you know, when I went to the College of Education, and I can't even remember when I actually made that switch, because during your freshman year, you were just basically taking general courses that could apply any place. When I switched, I think I did, I pursued both elementary and secondary. So I have elementary and secondary, as well as special ed, as well as early childhood. So when I made that switch, I just picked up every, if I saw a class I liked, I just picked it up and kept adding it onto my credentials. So I had the math, I had the computer science, I had the elementary, I had the special ed. It was just one of those options that I just did.
And I don't mean to pry with this question, and please let me know if you don't want to answer, but why, despite the fact that you were getting a negative, like I guess you could say that you were already starting off on a bad foot with the engineering program at school, why did you choose not to stay? I know, like, it was because, like, he recommended that you leave, but why did you, like, not ignore, why didn't you just ignore that and continue on the path you wanted?
Because to ignore that would be facing more obstacles than I was already facing as it is. I have dyslexia, and at that time, there was very little known about it, and so dealing with educational things was already an obstacle for me. I had to work a little bit harder than everyone else to do that. And then when you add that other layer onto it, it was just the best course. And talking with, I think it was my dad or my uncles, I can't remember. I can remember him basically saying, it doesn't defeat you from getting a college education. It's just changing your direction. And so don't allow someone to deny you that opportunity to have that education just because of the perception. The other thing was having to deal with that. I mean, if you're in a class and someone's telling you, I don't think you need to be here, what kind of obstacles are you going to face during the course of your tenure there? And being young, it was just like, okay, I'm out of here. I'll just go someplace else kind of situation. Not knowing hindsight, opportunities that you had, the recourses that you had, coming in the 70s, there were very few recourses that you had.
What year did you start school?
Let's see. I graduated from high school early. So I think I started in 1970. I can't remember whether it was 70 or the beginning of 1971. I really think I started in the fall of 70. And I think it was the fall of 70 or it was the beginning of 1971. Might have been January, but I can't remember, to be honest with you. Because again, like I said, we were on the quarters at that time.
Yes. From to education to elementary education from engineering is a big jump. What was that experience like, and how was the education program different from engineering?
Well, since I really, in honesty, didn't get to experience a lot of the engineering programming, the shift in a freshman year, you were still basically in those general courses that would apply in any college. So I don't think it was a drastic change far as shifting at that time. It was just a matter of, you know, changing over to a different department. Changing over to education was a whole different ballgame. It was the expectation, I guess, back then that, you know, this is where you should be in education, you know. So it wasn't a big transition. Was it a better fit? I don't know, but it was an easier way to navigate at that time. As far as navigating for classes, working with the advisors and stuff, it was just much easier.
What made you want to start off with engineering? What made you, was there a specific job you wanted? Was there something in high school that was related to engineering that was interesting to you?
I was always and still am very good in math, extremely well in math. I was placed in above classes in school in mathematics. Reading was very difficult for me, but I excelled in math. So that was the kind of the things I wanted to do. And I really didn't understand, to be honest with you. I used to see the guys in the streets doing the surveys and stuff and saying, oh, you know, one day I'm going to do that. I'm going to see what that's all about. Now, whether or not I would have stayed in civil engineer or a different aspect of engineering, probably would have switched, but I'm not sure at that point. But what was the driving force is that the fact that I was a very analytical, did very well in math.
You said when you switched over to education, it wasn't that much of a drastic change. It was just something you felt like education is where you needed to be. When did you realize that education was going to be your forever career after you switched?
You know, I don't know if I felt like education was where I needed to be. I felt that I could do this in education. To be honest with you, I can't really think about it, but towards my senior year when I made the switch, you know, I didn't really think too much about it. Yeah, I can do this. This won't be a problem. But making the switch thinking back in my senior year, it was like, you know, how many people really do what they do with their degree? I just need the degree and I can go wherever I wanted to go. So it was mainly, let's get this degree and get out of here.
Was there any welcoming faculty at YSU? Was there anybody who you built relationships with as far as faculty members?
You know, it was very interesting. I can really, and I have told people and I've told students when I went out and talked to schools about this, the turning point in my life at Youngstown State is when I met Dr. Pat Blight, I think it was Blight, and she was, I'm really not sure what Dr. Blight's responsibility. I don't know whether she was over student bodies or what, but she got me very involved in campus life. At that time, Youngstown was building their first student center. They had completed their first residential dorm for athletes. They were starting to move with student housing because at that time, Youngstown was considered more, it was Youngstown College, and it was considered more of a commuter school. There really wasn't dorms. The only dorms there were the dorms that they built for the athlete. And like I said, it was not like the university is today. There were very few buildings. You had Beagle Center, you had Elm Hall, I can't remember, that was the School of Education. So it was starting to grow because it was changing from a college state to a university. So it was, there was some drastic, and you saw the transformation as I was going there. So when the student center was in being built, I guess it was Dr. Blight's job, I'm not sure, responsibility, is to get students involved. And I just happened to meet her one day going through Beagle, it was at Beagle, not Beagle, whatever, that Kilcally Breezeway. And she stopped me and asked me where I was going, what class I was going to, what was I doing. And I told her I was in the School of Education, I was on my way to class. And she said, hey, there's this opportunity, would you be interested in applying for it? And I said, yeah, kept on going. And I think she pursued me because I would come that same path every day going to my class. And she saw me, she said, are you gonna apply? And I finally did, I applied for that position. And as I applied for that position and got accepted, there was a very diverse group of students that was involved in that project. And so it required us to get more involved. We were called the student ambassadors or student something, now that I don't know, for that the student center. I think it was Kilcally Student Center. Is it still called that? I can't remember.
Kilcally now is just Kilcally. There's a whole bunch of different things within Kilcally.
Okay, so at that time it was the athlete dorm, where the athletes had their lunch, and then downstairs was the student center.
Yeah, now we have a tutoring center in Kilcally. So I guess you can basically say it's kind of like a student center. We have technology service. The dorms are still there, but it's open to everyone now. And we have a food court.
Okay, so a lot of changes.
Yeah. What exactly was the project that Dr. Blight had you working on? What was the project?
Well, for lack of a better term, I can't even remember what we were called then. Our responsibility was to, we got jobs in the student center doing various things. We were to help facilitate things for students. Anything that needed to be done at the opening of Kilcally, we were involved with. Like I said, I can't even think of all of the things that I did. I worked at the, at that time they had a pub in the basement. I worked down in the pub with, who did I work? Oh, in fact, Jerry O'Neill and I worked together. And then we worked at the registration desk where everything's were going, just various things around campus we did.
You guys were kind of like, now we call it like student activities, where it's like the students, they get involved in the different activities for different students on campus and for first year students and all that.
Yeah, so we were the first. We were part of that group, that very first group.
Do you remember any of the events that you guys held
I think the biggest event I remember right now, I mean, we did some different ones, but I don't recall all of them. The biggest event I remember being involved in was homecoming, student homecoming. And in fact, somewhere in the archives, there should be a picture of me because I ran for homecoming court. And that was interesting. We did homecoming. We had different registration projects that were going on campus. Like if there was a, oh, we didn't do food drives, but we had different activities that we did. I just can't remember because we would set up booths right there in the before you came into the student center, right out front there. We would do things with that. We would encourage freshmen that were coming into campus. We would meet with freshman orientation and be like guides around campus. I just can't remember. I mean, that's been over 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Outside of working for Dr. Blight, did you join any other clubs? Were you a part of any sororities or anything like that?
Yes, I was involved with the AKAs. I was involved in that time Kappa Kittens. What else was I involved in? I did a lot of, I must have been some kind of ambassador to some schools because I remember going out and meeting with high school students that were coming to Youngstown State. But I think we met with them more on campus, but I do remember that, but I don't know what umbrella that was under. It was like all directed by Pat Blight at that time.
What were the Kappa Kittens?
Kappa Kittens was just a group of students, women, that either were dating a Kappa at that time or was planning on going to be online with AKAs. And we just was just a group that we did just different activities together. Anytime the campus was having something on campus, we helped them organize it, get it together. We performed in the step shows when they were having the step shows back then. So just part of campus fun life at that time, I guess.
And you were a part of the Kappa Kittens because you wanted to join the AKAs, or was Mr. Roosevelt a Kappa?
No, my husband is not a Kappa. That's a whole different story. It was just one of the things that we just did. It was just a group. The Black student body was not that large at Youngstown at the time, and so you pretty much knew everybody on campus. And so it's either you went with this group or you get something with this group. With this Greek group or this other group. But when he had activities, we all came together because we weren't that large. So becoming a Kappa Kitten, I think, had a lot to do, and it aligned with the fact that I was going to pledge AKA. Because if you were Deltas, you aligned more with the Omegas. So it was just what was happening on campus at that particular time. It's just the dynamics of what was going on. And then my older sister was also involved in AKA, so that kind of directed my path. I would have more for you. No, was more familiar with the AKAs than on campus. I laugh now in hindsight if I look back and when I moved away from Youngstown, more of my involvement has been with Deltas. Even though I am still an AKA, I do a lot of things with Deltas because my friends now are Deltas, majority of them.
Did you take any Black Studies courses while you were at YSU?
Yes, I did. Professor Albright, remember him very well, was doing something with the Black Studies Department, and he did keep. I'm trying to think of, did I take a course? I know I was involved down there in the Black Studies Department. Also, Malcolm Costa was also involved in Black Studies Department. But as a group, yes, I did do things with the Black Studies Department. I think most of us on campus did do something at some point or another.
Do you remember it, do you remember some of the things you did while collaborating with the Black Studies Department?
You know, I can't remember all the things we did because at that time, Dr. Bright kept us kind of involved. And there was another person, my husband might remember, I think his name was Eddie Thomas. Ed Thomas. Between Dr. Bright, Ed Thomas, and Malcolm Costa, they kind of connected with the Black students and kind of, you know, would see you on campus, check in on you, kind of get you involved in stuff, whether you wanted to or not, kind of situation. They tried to do as much as possible, I would say, to keep the Black students somewhat engaged on Youngstown's campus, because there really wasn't a whole lot other than going into the student lounge. It really wasn't that much for us to do. So I think they were very intentional when I look back on it, of checking in on us and trying to get us to do things. Not saying that it was always successful, but they did make a tremendous effort to get us involved in things. I think it was either Dr. Bright that encouraged some of us to try out for student council, to get involved in student government. I can remember that now. So I could say yes, we were small, but we were involved, the groups that were there.
Where did the Black students gather on campus? 70s, I'm not really sure, but the community of Black students wasn't really big at, in the earlier years of YSU. So where could you go to find other students who look like you?
The only place I could say that we could gather on campus was in the student center, and that was in that lower level, and basically a little section over there that where we would gather. Most of the activities I would say with the Black students were through the Greek organizations, either the Kappas, the Deltas, the AKAs, when they were throwing events. And most of the times, those things were not on campus.
What kind of things did you guys do off campus? Did you do any community service work?
Since I was not thoroughly involved in the sororities at that time, you know, being a because I really started online and I didn't really go over until my grad studies. I'm trying to think. They had some different service projects that they had to do. Very, very limited that I can remember of my involvement. I was a student that was working full time and going to school full time. So, a lot of the on-campus things that were happening, I really didn't get a chance to get engaged in a lot of them until my senior year. And that was more when I was working with Dr. Blight, with Pat, because I was able to get more a scholarship to finish up my senior year.
What was your full-time job outside of school?
Working in various, I worked at that time there was a woman's upscale boutique called called Abraham's, and then there was Livingston's. And when I wasn't working there, those jobs, I was working at a supermarket in Campbell. I think it was called Value City or Value something other. Just minimum wage, working to pay for my college.
And how did you balance that? How did you deal with the stress of having to work full time and being a full time student as well, and also financially supporting yourself through college?
You talk about stress now, and I don't think that was a word that we were dealing with then. I'm sure we might have had stress, but we didn't consider it stress. It was like, this is what you have to do what you need to do. And you just did it. So to say it was stressful, no, it's just part of the process of what to get from A to B, this is what you had to do, you know? So I don't think it was stressful. It was just, I would have to say that all of my employers that I worked with, and most of it was retail or either in the grocery stores or something like that, they were very accommodating to the fact that I was going to school. So I either worked on a Saturday or I worked on the Sunday, or I would do my classes and then go downtown, you know, just running down the hill to go to work. So they were very accommodating of college students. And I wasn't the only college student working there. And they kind of made a priority for us to get our education and still have opportunities to work.
What was your graduate program while you
My
were there?
graduate program I didn't do at Youngstown State.
Oh, okay.
It was just my undergraduate. My graduate work was done between Kent State and Akron University.
How was that experience in the graduate program different from your undergraduate studies?
How was it different?
There
Oh, it
are a
was.
lot of obvious differences, but what was your experience?
It was a big difference. And I think a lot of it had to do with maturity. A lot of it had to do with the changing of what was going on at that time. When I went to Youngstown, it went from Youngstown College to Youngstown State University. It was a much smaller environment. It was going from a commuter school to a residential campus school. So that was just all kind of in the works. The fact that I was working full time and trying to go to school, it didn't lend for a lot of getting involved in a whole lot of stuff until my se towards my end of my junior year, my senior year when I got a scholarship and I didn't work, to when I was in grad school, I had already started a career. I was focusing on the next advancement, what I was doing next, my goals going to a different direction. So I was more aware of what I needed to get from the university, how to assess it, how to not back down if I hit a stamp, you know. I had rights that I did not know I had in undergrad. So it was just a whole different environment.
What is your current career right now? What do you do now?
I am happily retired. I retired working, I worked in the Akron Public Schools. I taught, believe me, taught math for a while. And then I went into administration. I finished my career working for the state and federal in Title I and state and federal programs. Going into the School of Education paid off for me. It wasn't my first choice, but I think it was the best route for me and the career that I had. I had no regrets. I did well in education. I'm still involved in various educational foundations. Education has become a passion. And basically, I've worked on the college level. I've taught at Akron, I've taught at Kent, I've taught at Worcester. So it's given me an opportunity to tell my story and to help kids, students, forge through the difficult aspect of getting an education that I had, making them aware of the opportunities that I had no clue of. I had no clue about the availability of scholarships, none. Even though I went to a school that talked about scholarships and students were given meetings with counselors to apply for scholarships, that opportunity was never given to me. So it was just a different time, a different situation, and coming from undergraduate, not having that knowledge and ability of information, to coming to grad school where information is power, and knowing how to access that information is even more powerful. It was just a total difference.
Did you, you mentioned that your overall experience pursuing education was a good experience, but did you face any difficulties while pursuing your degree in education here?
I think as a Black female student on a predominantly white campus, you face quite a few obstacles, and the question you have to ask yourself, am I bigger and better equipped to overcome them, or am I going to let them drain me? I chose to surround myself with people who could help me to overcome the different things. And I too have to say, like I said, I mentioned earlier, that my life changed and my perspective of Youngstown State changed when I met Dr. Blight, Pat Blight. She encouraged me. She gave me opportunities. She didn't let me fail. There was a lot of times when I like, hey, I just don't have the money to take a full load of courses, and I'm just going to go part-time or whatever. But somehow, with her encouragement, we would always find a way to keep going. So yes, there were quite a few obstacles. I mean, sometimes you walk into a class and you're the only minority in the class. You meet professors whose expectations of you were less than what you could, you know, what. And so you had to either face those challenges and prove them wrong. Did I struggle? I can remember, yes, I struggled in a lot of areas in the College of Education. And it wasn't because of my knowledge, it was because of my disability. Having dyslexia, it's not that I couldn't learn, it just took me a little bit longer to process information and get through that information. And sometimes asking for more time to do something and not having that given or granted became an obstacle. But again, I had great friends and great support systems that helped me. At that time, some of the best people that I've met and are still my lifetime friends now, I met in the College of Education.
How would you say that you would help other students and other young Black women in your same situation?
You mean far as it relates to a college experience or just in life in general?
Maybe both.
Okay. One of the things when I was asked to be an adjunct professor at Akron, Kent, and Worcester, was to encourage other minorities to help them navigate, to help them understand how to navigate the obstacles that they were going to face, letting them know the availabilities of alternatives, what was out there for them, because I never knew what was available for me to go to school. The expectation for me, even though I felt that RAM was a great school, but because I struggled in reading, there wasn't an expectation for me to go to college. So, letting the students know there is an expectation that you should go to college. Don't let anybody deny you of that opportunity because it exists. And it's only failure is if you don't try and if you don't take advantage of that. So I ran into a lot of students as I taught various courses at Akron U that were struggling and needed to have some assistance. And I mentored quite a few, mainly, most of them were women. And I think I made a tremendous difference because I still connect with them. Some of them were from Youngstown State. Some of them, like I said, still live in Youngstown. I think that they just needed some encouragements to overcome that. So I think I am doing that. I am doing it more so now that I'm retired and I have more time. I'm working more with the school system in Charlotte, working with, again, encouraging young minority students to get involved in STEM education. I sit on two foundations that provide STEM opportunities to minorities students. And so, yes, my experience did forge my direction of what I'm doing now.
Do you feel as though YSU prepared you to do what you do now, or do you feel like it was more so the experience of life that helped you to prepare for what you do now?
I think both. When I look back at the courses that I took at Youngstown in the College of Education, especially I'm going to focus on the education, special ed department, because I started off teaching math when I graduated, but my background and degree in special ed opened up more doors for me because when I graduated from Youngstown, I was graduating with some of the few people in the state who had a special ed degree. And so we were very marketable, had no trouble, I mean, had multiple offers of school districts that wanted our experience. And I look at some of my fellow colleagues who graduated from other schools. And to be honest with you, I don't think they were as prepared with the knowledge of what you do and you work with kids with special needs as we were, as I was when I went into my workplace. And at that time, Youngstown State, well, Youngstown, however, it wasn't state then, but Youngstown State University had a partnership with the Easter Seals and another place. I can't even remember what it was called now, but it was a state institution that housed special needs individuals. And so part of that working and getting my degree in special ed is that we were placed to work in some of these facilities and having firsthand experience with profoundly disabled children and profoundly disabled adults, I think prepared me more for what I was going to do in when I was assigned to special ed, how to deal with the students, how what the expectation was, what the curriculum had to be adjusted. And then also having special needs myself also made me more cognizant of what I needed to do in special ed. So I can remember, like I said, we were some of the first graduating classes because that was in 75. And I think that's when 74, 75 is when the law for disabled and special ed, the Disabilities Act came into place and school districts had to do that. Well, we had very little training to go in. And basically, I know my first class, I taught in the stairwell of a basement because there was no room for special needs kids. And fighting for a classroom, fighting for a place for those kids. But it was just a different time. It was just, but I do say that my experience at Youngstown in the in special ed especially, gave me the tools to kind of navigate better than some of my other colleagues that I was working with.
What would you say to other young Black women like yourself, women who may be struggling to get their education and struggling with accepting themselves? What would you say to them?
What would I say to them now? I guess I would say that don't allow your struggles and your difficulties to dominate. I think that when I look back of the things and the obstacles that I incurred at that time, I used to say I would think about, no, if I had this opportunity, I would change this. I would do this differently. I don't say that now because I look at the opportunities and the struggles and the roadblocks that I faced and say they made me a better person and they made me the person who I am now. Mm-hmm. So I would tell that person, look at your struggles as opportunities. They will only be difficult if you allow them to be at the forefront. Yes, are you going to struggle? Are you going to get through it? Or are they going to go away? Those are determined by the paths that you choose. I would tell them to surround themselves with positive people because negative people give you negative energy. And when you're struggling, you don't need somebody else's negative energy. You need to have some positive energy around you. I would tell that person to have a critical friend, someone that's going to hold them accountable, tell them like it is, kick you in the butt until you keep on going, but will be there through thick and thin. And I would tell them that there is always some kind of help and resources out there. And you need to tap into that and build a community around you that's going to support you. Religion is very important in my life. So I would say to that person, you have to have a higher power to guide you and direct you in your path.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That was all I had for you today. I don't think I have any other questions, and Miss Cassie hasn't asked any other questions.
I'm gonna laugh because when I told a friend that I was gonna be doing this interview, somehow or another, she was able to pull up a picture of me and the homecoming court that I was on. So I'd be interested to find out whether or not those are in the archives at Youngstown, because that was a whole different experience for me.
Positive. We may have them, but do you have them?
I have that one picture, but I'm quite sure there's probably another picture. I would have to search for them now because I'm not the best with finding pictures on my phone when people send them to me. That was a different experience for me too, being at Youngstown. It was
I'm sure we have
positive.
some things. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see that. Yeah.
If
Well,
we do find some things, we'll
it
send
was
them to
nice
you.
doing the interview with you. And tell me, are you working on your doctorate, or is this a master's problem or thesis for you?
I am actually still an undergraduate student. This
Oh,
was just a
okay.
project that I took on because our schools don't really have this information on the experience of Black students here at YSU. And so I wanted to take on this project to build that place where we can go to find history on ourselves and our students who came before us here.
Okay. My question to you is then, so what is your major?
Psychology.
Psychology. My husband was a psychology major. Do you,
Yes.
so being a psychology major and undergrad, so I know that without a doubt you will be pursuing postgraduate and a doctorate, hopefully.
Yes, that's
And so
the
my word of encouragement to you would be, take this project
plan.
and build on it. You're going to have to do papers. You're going to have to do research. When you go to your master's levels, you're going to have to do papers. When you go to your doctorate level and you have to start working on your thesis and whatever, you do your dissertation. If this is an area of interest to you, build on that and let this be the foundation for what your doctoral work will be. Because you're laying the groundwork now, you're developing a great foundation of resources. And why wouldn't you use this as part of your dissertation? Why wouldn't you use this and form your question around that? So think about that. Someone told me that, and I learned that lesson a little late because every paper I would write, everything I would do, I would do it towards that end. Since you took on this project, were you able to find anything in the archives from the Black Studies Department?
Little things about the experience of Black students, little things. Lately, I started off doing individual students, like just looking up individual students, looking up their names from the yearbooks and looking up things that they did on campus. So not so much groups and programs here, but I'm trying to get into that.
Well, I would suggest because Dr. Bright and Eddie Thomas have both passed away, but Malcolm Costa, have you heard that name?
No, ma'am.
Okay, he is still in Akron, Ohio, and he is the CEO of Community Action Agency. And at that time, between those three men, they were the Black Studies Department at Youngstown State. And if anybody has archives and has history, it would be Malcolm Costa. So if
Thank
you
you.
would just Google Akron Community Action Agency, you would be able to get a hold of him. And the ironic part about it, before I left Akron, the majority of the people that were working there with him were from Youngstown State. So you would have a group of, I want to say, veterans that could give you some history going back to 1965 forward.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you would that group would be able to give you a lot of history. And I still keep in touch with them, so I know they're there. Well,
What was the group called again?
it was just they still work for the Akron Community Action Agency, and Malcolm Costa would know how to put you in touch with them.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
For all your
You are
Oh, and before
doubtful.
you go, what was your maiden name?
My maiden name was Magaha, MCGAHA.
Magaha. Okay.
Yes, so
How
any
did you
records that
meet?
you find at Youngstown would be under Magaha.
How
So
did you
you.
meet Mr. Roosevelt?
I'll let him tell you that story. He has a different spin on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much for all your help, and thank you for contributing to our project here.
And you're welcome, and I would like to find out the outcome of all of your research.
Well, we plan on opening an exhibit here at YSU. You live all the
Oh.
way in Carolina, so I don't know if we're still trying to work it out.
Oh,
I want everybody to be able to.
I come to Ohio frequently. So
Oh,
you
that's
know,
good.
I wished you I would have known this because I just threw out my trophy from homecoming. I came in second place for homecoming. And
Oh.
that's a story for that. But I may have a few items that I've kept that I could get. I have to look. I may still have my certificate from Pat Blight, and we have the information about what it was that we did do on campus through that, because it was a grant-funded program. I just don't remember what it was called.
Well, that would be wonderful, because we are looking for stuff to try and put in our exhibit, and that would be wonderful to put your things on display if you would let us, if you would like us to.
No problem if I can find them.
Well, you have a blessed day, Miss Blackwell. Thank you again for speaking with us.
Okay, you're welcome. You take care.
You too.